Bobby Booba, ba-da-dee-doo-da, Ice Ice Baby. Wow. Hello. Is it Friday yet?
Are you okay? Is everything all right?
I just want to see the Queen biopic. I cannot wait to see that. I'm a big Queen fan. And I hate Vanilla Ice for that reason.
Oh, don't hate Vanilla Ice. There's no reason to hate Vanilla Ice. Hi, everybody. It's
Have
Bill
you
and
seen
it's
him?
Wendy.
Yes, there is a reason.
Oh, it's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. If you want to jump in, if you want to talk to us about anything, 312-981-7200. Wendy promises to contain herself at some point. You know what I forgot to do yesterday? I feel so bad. Over the weekend, we learned that Marian Hossa, the great Marian Hossa, will no longer be playing hockey. And boy, did that make me sad.
That felt like I got punched in the stomach.
I had a feeling it was heading in that direction. But then just to hear it formally announced is very, very upsetting. John McDonough was nice enough to attend the Walk of Fame ceremonies on Friday, and I talked to him about a whole bunch of hockey-related things, but I didn't even bring Marian Hossa up because at that point I didn't know if any decision would be reached anytime soon. And then just a day later, we find out that Marian Hossa has skated in his last NHL game, and that's just sad because here's the best thing about him. He by hockey standards, by NHL standards, he was an older guy. In the stretch of a lifetime, he's not an older guy, but to play professional hockey, right, he was an older guy. And just the mere fact that he played alongside guys that were 10 and 12 years younger than him.
And delivered.
Oh, boy, did he ever. And I always felt like anytime there was a line that had him on it, I felt like it would be good both ways. Like the team had the potential to score, but they could also block anything coming at him. He was just so good for so long. And for a career to end over something so fluky.
Exactly. As a skin condition and an allergy to the materials that the sweaters are made of.
Here's what my wife asked me, and I don't know the answer to this. But she said, if that's keeping you from playing the game, that whatever the sweaters or jerseys, as we call them.
Yeah, I hate to say sweaters, but I felt like people would.
No, the correct answer is
strong arm me.
It is sweaters.
It's not a sweater. They're not sweaters anymore.
All right. So if that's what's keeping you from playing hockey, can't you say to the league, I want to keep playing hockey. Can't we find some other material to make my jersey out of? Or sweater?
Well, I'm sure they tried, because I'm sure this was not a one-season deal. This has been ongoing, right, and just got so bad he couldn't do it.
There were other players, too, right?
I had heard that there were other players, but they didn't suffer as much as he did. And, I mean, there has to be a way to line it with cotton, I'm sure they tried everything.
But it's so upsetting. If you love the game and you say to yourself, I still have a couple of years, I can still play for a couple of years, and that's the thing that takes you down. I mean, you've seen him play over the years. He goes all out all the time, and you go, boy, it's such a dangerous game anyway. I mean, it's guys skating really, really fast and swinging really fast, and that's what takes you down. That's just so unfair.
He still reminds me of Dave Bennett. I'm sorry. He really does. They look like they could be brothers. Put it that way.
I know Dave filled in for him once for one period.
And no one noticed.
They let him play. He almost scored a goal.
You know, I hate to see him retire. We, as a family, bought all of the four of us got sweaters. I can't say it anymore. We got Blackhawks
jerseys. Or sweaters, whatever you're comfortable with.
I got Duncan Keith because he's awesome.
Yeah.
Dylan got Shaw.
Andrew Shaw.
Yeah, I couldn't think of his first name. How quickly we forget when he's not on your team.
Yeah.
And then he retired, or was traded the next season, so that bummed me out. So then I thought the Blackhawks store should have a way so you can change the number and name without buying a brand new jersey. So Dylan's,
would you do that yourself or bring it to the store and they'd have a kit and they would do it at the store?
I think you could pay a nominal fee, not as much as a new jersey, but maybe get the numbers and the name switched out. I thought that would be fair.
All right.
Jim got Marian Hossa.
Yeah.
So he's cool with that because he retired a Blackhawk.
Yeah.
And Michael didn't want to mess with anyone being traded, so he went classic, old school Stan Mikita.
That's good forever.
So now I have talked Dylan, and he wanted Panic next, and I thank God I didn't do that.
Because he didn't last much longer with the team.
Nope, so I think I talked Dylan into Tony O.
Because
Esposito, again, classic.
Forever. That'll last forever. I saw a kid the other day. This is to me, you know how you always have sure signs that summer's right around the corner? So I saw a kid
except
this year. Any other year, you go, well, summer's got to be coming pretty soon. But I saw a kid quickly riding his bike toward a Little League field, dressed in his uniform, you know, with his mitt kind of put on the gear shift thing of the bike. And here's what I noticed about this kid. He was wearing his uniform, and on the back, as he pedaled away from me, was not only his number, but his last name was above the numbers, which I would have loved when I played Little League for 10 years. And there was never a chance of having your name on the back of the uniform.
Because you had to give it back.
You had to give it back. And Steve, I don't know, you played some Little League too, right?
Yeah.
All right, so the number was part of the...
Legendary.
It was on the uniform. But then also, we had a sponsor sheet that we had to put on, and I would never
a
put...
A sheet?
Yeah, there was like, it was this thing that...
A piece of paper you pinned to your shirt?
No, I'm trying to think of how they affixed it to the uniform.
It wasn't just printed on it?
No, it wasn't printed on it because every year the sponsors of the teams would change.
So was it a giant patch, maybe?
It was a patch. Okay. So would you? I guess you sew it on, right?
Yeah.
But I'd always say to my mom, "I don't do mine. I don't want mine on because I would go to major league games and nobody had sponsor sheets on the back of the uniforms. And every year I got in trouble. Because
you were always a contrarian, weren't you?
No, I wanted it to be a more realistic experience.
Yeah, but it's Little League.
I wouldn't do that, and then I refused to do the hey batter batter thing.
Well, that's forbidden now.
Oh, you can't do that anymore?
No, that's not very
sportsman-like. I'm all right with that. I'm fine with that. But I would go to major league games and you didn't see the guys in the field going, hey, batter, batter, hey, batter, swing. So I just go, I'm not doing that.
Did you also chew tobacco because they did in the big league? Which now,
no,
isn't that banned?
Bad.
Now they just do sunflower seeds.
I think you can still, I think you're still allowed to chew tobacco.
Bill, I go back to, in my earliest Little League years, we had the old wool jerseys.
I remember those. Yep.
The kids now just get a T-shirt, and so you get the number printed on the back, and you get to keep them. And then there's a sponsor, I think, above the number.
It depends on what age, though, because now they do get the because we spend so much money on unnecessary things that everyone gets their own uniform now.
And they don't
they
don't keep it, though, right?
Oh, I think so.
Do they get to keep it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
I loved that my son Michael was in Madrigals in high school, and he got a tux. For performances for free.
They just gave him a tux?
Yeah, he had to get measured, and I'm like, how much is this going to cost?
With his name and number on the back?
Yes.
That's not bad.
So then no one could use it.
That's not bad at all.
And his size, like the jerseys have
as
well.
Oh, that's excellent.
L.
But I was so envious of this kid who quickly was racing down my block to get to a Little League game to just go, I know it's no big deal to you, but you've got your name on the back of the uniform. That's pretty cool. I'd still be playing Little League ball if that was the case.
That would be cool. I've not seen it until hearing about it now. Again, we had just T-shirts when my kids played. That was 5, 6, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And of course, when Dylan played, my second son, the first team he got, the Cubs.
Oh, that must have crushed you.
It really broke all of our hearts.
Did you try to get him to quit?
No.
Or traded to another team?
No, and I told him he could, you know, get a black Sharpie and put like a no sign through the Cubs logo at the end of the season.
At the end?
Yes, but
not
he couldn't
during.
Do it before.
No, don't do it during. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then more discussion. Want to jump in? We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. We have hired the people who write for Dixie Riddle Cups to write our promos now.
Instead of Welcome Mats, Welcome
Bats.
Oh.
That's funny.
Yeah, you missed that because I did for the first 30 seconds and then it clicked.
And then it clicked. Yeah.
All right. We were talking baseball, and Bill saw a true sign of summer where a kid's on his bike with his mitt on the handlebars or gear shifter. I don't know what you
that
saw.
Little thing in the middle.
They don't even have that thing in the middle anymore.
Well, this kid had a thing in the middle.
Was it an old bike?
I don't think it was.
Because you change gears now on like a motorcycle thing on the side. How old is your bike?
My bike is old, but this I didn't lend this kid my bike.
Oh, okay.
He had his own bike.
And he had the name on the back of his jersey.
His own name, his own last name.
Made Bill very jealous.
I thought it was the coolest thing. I still ask, if I see a kid coming home from a Little League game, I still ask if they won. And I don't have any vested interest in it. I don't know if he's on a good team or a bad team. But I always go, how'd you do? Did you win? I don't know why. I like to know.
I did that the other day at Andy's Frozen Custard. There was a guy and his father walking in.
Yeah.
I should have been able to judge by the look on his face. Yeah. But I said, did you win? He goes, no. Like, so sorry, but you have to ask.
Did he have his spikes on in the Andes?
No.
Because that's always an issue. Like, we would always go to A&W Root Beer after, and they would always yell at us, spikes off, fellas.
It's so fun to walk into a place with your spikes on, though, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, we're talking baseball because summer's coming. When did you say, in July?
Yeah, sometime July.
All right, cool. Cheryl's on the line with us. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Bill.
Hey, what's up, Cheryl?
I wanted to share my Cubs story. The when my husband was the manager of our Little League team, avid White Sox fan, and his two buddies who were also coaching with him were White Sox fans, the jokers at Naperville Little League thought it'd be hilarious to put our team in Cubs blue.
Oh, nice.
So we weren't even, the coaches wouldn't even call us the Cubs. They just referred to us as blue. Go blue. And they wouldn't even say the word.
Cheryl, you believe that they did this on purpose, knowing that the coaching staff was not fans of the Cubs, that they purposely did this?
Absolutely.
Wow. I'm sure they did.
Wow.
I'm sure they did.
Well, you go drinking together. I mean, the coaches go drinking together, and they get together and try to be friendly at the end of the season. They knew they were Sox fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Very funny.
And they would never say Cubs under any circumstances. It just wouldn't come up. The name would not come up.
Go blue.
That's excellent.
I turn into Marian Hossa anytime Royal Blue is anywhere near my body. I get a skin reaction, and I can't wear it.
Oh, no.
Cheryl, thank you for calling.
Have a great day. Thanks.
So 1 year, because I just wouldn't do the patch on the back of my uniform.
You
just
really left it blank?
Yeah, I just had the number back there because major leaguers didn't have patches on the back of the uniform saying, you know, a company name. So 1 year I was on the Padres, and our sponsor was supposed to be Hearthside Realty. And the owner would come to the games to watch the games. And he'd always say to my manager, hey, you got to tell that kid he's got to put his patch on. I pay money for you guys to do it. And every week I'd have a different excuse.
Like what? Give me one.
Can't find it. Someone took it. I'd point at another kid. I think he took my patch. I want to put it on, and it's gone.
I wouldn't have played you. Seriously.
That was too good to bench.
Oh, my God. They had
to play me. Wait, I'm ambidextrous.
That horn is tooting so loudly, I'm deaf now. I was too good.
Too good to sit.
Oh,
so
my God. You are something
else.
I
had them. I owned them.
Where did it get you?
Today, I'm a Major League Baseball player. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, then some news.
I'm too good to take a break.
Wendy, you got to take a break. And then after the break, Steve has a story to share with you from 30 years ago. Boy, is this an insane story. Stick around for that. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Yesterday, we had Phil Andrew on the show. On May 20th, 1988, Lori Dann, a 30-year-old woman with a reported history of mental illness, opened fire at Hubbard Woods Elementary School in Winnetka. She killed 8-year-old Nicholas Corwin, injured 5 other kids. After that shooting, Lori Dann entered the Winnetka home of then 20-year-old Andrew, Phil Andrew, who was in yesterday. She was armed with 2 handguns, held Andrew and his parents hostage for hours. Andrew's parents eventually escaped, but Andrew stayed in the house with Lori Dann, attempting to de-escalate the situation. He went on then to be a negotiation expert with the FBI and now works for the Archdiocese of Chicago in a security-type fashion. And when he came in the studio yesterday, Steve Bertrand walked down, and you guys knew each other. Explain this. This is a fascinating story to me, Bertrand.
Well, I was outside Phil's house on the day of the shooting and spent several hours there. And I then covered him. He had a news conference. And, you know, I was 25. He was 20, I think you said. And at that time, it seemed like I was much older, I mean, than him. I wasn't. But, and he had a news conference at Highland Park Hospital and was just so impressive. The poise that he had, and I'm sure you saw that yesterday. So we kind of stayed in touch, talked a few times over the years, but not really. And then last year, we have a mutual friend, and we were talking to each other through the friend and decided to get together for coffee. So I had never sat down with Phil in 20 years, and we're having coffee, and we'll met. And, you know, it's a hard thing to talk about. And so we talked about everything else for the longest time, and then Phil started telling, relaying the story and talking about, you know, his hours in the house with Lori Dann, and told me many details that I certainly wasn't aware of. And, you know, we went from there. And when he finished, I said, can I tell you my story now? Because it was a profound day for me, too. I remember what I ordered for lunch that day before getting the call to go up there. I remember all these things, and it had a real impact on me. So he's like, yeah, I would like to hear it. I've been hearing other people's stories of the events. So I said, well, I got up outside your house, and I was on Hibbard Woods Road, and we're waiting out there, and the there's a standoff as the police are outside.
Is Judy Pilak just vacuuming?
Yeah, I know. This is...
Judy likes a clean newsroom, Wendy. You know that.
Yeah, they're working on the moving and stuff, they've stopped.
Right.
So I'm on Hibbard Woods Road, I think it's Hibbard Woods Road,
yeah.
And which is like about half a block from Phillip's house, and we know there's the standoff there. And these two young kids come up to me, and they say, hey, I live in the house behind the house where the cops are. And I said, are you serious? And he goes, yeah. He goes, absolutely. You know, their house is right behind mine. So I said, take me there. So the kids took me around the corner and into this house, and I went into the house, and one of the boys' parents were there. I think there was a grandmother there, and there was a sliding glass door that led back to Phil Andrews' backyard, and they had a brick fence, a stone fence with gapes in it, you know, holes that you could look through. So I went out the sliding door and crawled to the fence, and then back then I had that old brick phone, the early cell phones.
Yeah.
And I'm looking through the holes in the fence into Phillip Andrews' backyard, where I know Lori Dan is inside and the police are surrounding her. I can see in the backyard, and I'm telling this to Phil, and I said, Phil, your mom had a garden over here, right? He goes, yeah. And I said, I could see a SWAT team guy crouched behind the plants in the garden. I said, then there was a tree to the left, and there was a copper up in the tree or near the tree with their guns trained. And so I'm watching this as it's going down.
I can see why you cannot forget this day. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Plus, she's armed, and you're right there, and all the police and SWAT teams there.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And no one's telling you that you're in a dangerous area there?
Well, after several minutes, I mean, I was so close to the police and everything, it wasn't smart to talk on my phone. I mean, and then after a few minutes, I hear a rustling coming around the fence, and I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be a cop. And then I started to get a little frightened because everyone was a little, you know,
sure,
keyed up. And he comes around and he sees me, and, you know, he's like, get out of here. And he chases me out. And so I said, Phil, that's my story. That's where I was that day. And Phil said, and this is sitting again at Coffee and Woman. He goes, well, let me tell you another story. He said, about 5 or 6 years ago, he said, I go around, I give speeches, and I talk about this day and the events and all the shooting. He said, 5 or 6 years ago, I'm giving a talk to a group of retired law enforcement, and I'm telling him everything that's going through and how it all happened. And I said, you know, and then it started to get dark, and the police stormed the house because they didn't want it to get dark and have her still be in there.
Yeah.
And he said, a guy in the front row just kind of got agitated, and he was shaking his head, and it was kind of distracting, and I finally called him. I said, sir, you know, what is it? And he said, you just finish your story, and then I'll tell you a story. So Phillip finished his story, and this guy gets up, and he says, I happened to be the commander in charge that day outside your house. He said, and we didn't storm the house because we were afraid it was getting dark. We stormed the house because we learned there was a reporter who had gotten through the perimeter and was looking through the backyard fence. And that's what prompted us to go into the house.
Wow.
And find Lori Dan.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there.
And that reporter is you.
And it was
young Steve Bertrand.
And, you know, when we were telling each other these stories up there last year, both our jaws just kind of dropped because it was a big piece, obviously, in his story and a big one in mine, and neither of us had ever known.
Yeah.
For 20-some years.
Right.
That's wild. Now, are the police after you?
Well,
right
look,
now that they have
reasons.
Identified you?
I want to say, because I'm not altogether proud of it.
But you were doing your job.
And I didn't knowingly sneak through any police line. There were no officers there.
So how do you think it would have played out differently, Steve, had you had not done what you did there?
No, because Lori Dan had committed suicide before police moved in.
But you didn't. But nobody knew that at the time, right?
No. And I mean, look, so the way Phil told me later then was there were a couple of officers as part of the SWAT team or the... you know, several suburbs combined for a team on events like this.
Yeah.
And their shift had ended and they left. And that's why there was no one in that area where I went through. Like the officer shouldn't have left the area, but he did. And so I had a freedom to go in there.
You'd think there would be some officers saying to the family who lives behind you, listen, clear your house.
Well,
yeah,
trust me, when they saw me, there was. And they extended the perimeter quite a bit. But, you know, like I said, I didn't knowingly violate anything.
Of course not.
But I just thank God that there was no shooting when they went in.
Steve, would you also say that because those incidents were so incredibly rare 30 years ago, that maybe the tactics that they have in place now wouldn't quite be in place 30 years ago?
I'm sure that's probably true. I mean, look, there was no... anyone could walk into any school until the Laurie Dan shootings.
Right.
That's what started to change all of that. But the thing I want to say about it is it just shows that even though we all think we have our own stories, even our own stories aren't the whole story.
Right.
You know,
that's true.
There's always some other piece of it that you're not aware of.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because when you told us off the air, it was just amazing to me. I thought everybody needed to hear it.
I didn't get a chance to tell him yesterday when he was up with us.
He'll be back. We ran out of time.
Yeah,
big
we
time.
Needed. There was much more to discuss with him. His story is very similar to James Comey's in that he became an FBI. He got involved with the FBI for similar reasons. Somebody had broken into his house and held his family hostage when he was younger, and he also it was so devastating to him and changed his life so much that he said, "I got to devote my life." James Comey did. To getting guys like this, it's almost the same story.
Inspiration comes from strange places.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Steve.
Thanks,
we
Steve.
Appreciate that.
Sure.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick
Lucky
break.
To have you, my friend.
What Wendy said. We'll take a quick break. Bertrand Travel, by the way. BertrandTravel.com. We'll take a quick break. And then
not as exciting as
show. Yes, it is.
Travel.
Yes, it is.
Well, that one was pretty scary.
All right, more after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It is a Tech Tuesday, Bill, and we now have an Instagram account, if I can just tell you, that we are at Bill Wendy Show on Instagram. I'm looking at a picture from when Phil, Andrew, and Audrey were on yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's a Tech Tuesday. We're going to talk Instagram right now with Bridget Carey, CNET Senior Editor. I'm always worried, Bridget, that I can't catch up with all the pictures on Instagram, so I scroll like crazy, but I may not have to anymore.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a problem where we kind of forget even why we're scrolling. Like, we just get lost in it and forget ourselves. But now, with all this criticism there's been lately with social media sucking us in and hurting our lizard brains, Instagram now has a new feature they're testing. It's called All Caught Up. It's something where users will get a little alert that says, you are all caught up. You've seen all the new posts from the past 48 hours. And it's not, you know, for everyone's account yet, but it's the idea is to see if it encourages you to just, you know, stop scrolling and do something else. You know, it kind of goes in light with something else Instagram did recently. Earlier this month, there's this feature in the settings that can tell you how much time you've spent on Instagram.
Oh, I don't want to know that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, a little depressing perhaps for some folks, maybe a wake-up call. So it doesn't like really alert you out of the blue, but if you hunt for it, you can find it.
All right, I'm just scrolling right now. I got to pay attention to what we're doing here. It's just so easy to get sucked in. We spend a lot of time on our computer, and I guess there's a new computer bug out there. Should we be afraid?
Oh, you know, the headlines make it sound pretty scary, but I think, sadly, there's not much that can be done except to make sure your computer's updated. So this is something where all the modern processors that are made by Intel, ADM, ARM, you know, they're all using something that has a flaw in it. And you might have seen headlines with something called Spectre or Meltdown. These are chip flaws in the processors themselves. It was announced first time in January, and they were it's basically a flaw that, like, you know, was being exploited, and they patched it. And oh, now just on Monday we find out there's still another flaw that has to be patched. I would say the kind of takeaway for you and me is that Microsoft and some others are saying, all right, and Intel, you know, there's no evidence that it's being used by hackers, so the risk is low right now. But the danger is one of those things that we're going to hear about in weeks and months to come, because, you know, so many new computers have this, and you'll have to be patched. And if you patch it, it could even slow your computer down. So, because of the way it's designed. So some people are now considering, well, maybe I don't want to patch it considering the risk is so low. I think we're going to see over time if this becomes an issue, because it's not being used against us right now. But all these companies who made these processors, you know, the next generation is what's going to clear it out. You have to buy a whole new system, really.
Bridget, every Tuesday we get a sheet that tells us topics that you want to discuss with us. And then I see these two words and I get so excited. Smart Tupperware. My dreams have come true, Bridget. Tell us more about Smart Tupperware.
Oh, it's something I got to check out yesterday. So, you know, the startup company is trying to make it so the food that you forgot about in your fridge, all your leftovers in your Tupperware, you know, like what can be done to alert you to remember to eat your food. There's these little, tabs you would call it, that you can either stick on your existing Tupperware or buy their version of Tupperware and put it on. And you would tap it. And if you have an Amazon Alexa in the house, you would say, Alexa, tell Ovi, the system's called Ovi. Everything has a funny name, right?
Yeah.
Tell Ovi that these are, this is lasagna. And then what it does is it starts a countdown timer based on, like, okay, lasagna is good for about 5 days or so. And then it'll turn colors. It'll be green when it's good, and when it's yellow.
Not the food, not the lasagna won't turn green.
No.
It's a little button. It looks like something that'd be on a keychain, you know, and that itself is what lights up. And then when it gets to yellow, you'll get a notification on your phone. Hey, don't forget to eat your lasagna. And if it's just an ingredient, like, say, green beans or carrots, it's like, hey, here's some carrot recipes. Don't forget about your carrots. And, we have a problem with food waste, so this company's trying to, you know, fix that problem. But yeah. They got a Kickstarter that just launched today. They want to see this out by February of next year, but they're trying to entice folks to help fund their project, because I got to see it working, but they still got to make the Tupperware giant tubs and put that in production.
Where do I look on Kickstarter for that? Because can I just tell you, like, we bring home leftovers from a restaurant or something, and honestly, sometimes 2 weeks go by, you're cleaning out the refrigerator, you find it in the back, and you're like, oh my god,
what about this?
There's my gnocchi I could have eaten, and I forgot all about it. So what do we look for on Kickstarter if we want to contribute?
The company is called OVIE, OV. It's instead of Tupperware, Smarterware. You know, everyone's got a funny name.
Sure.
But there you go.
Are you going to invest all your fortune in this, Wendy?
No, but no? I'd like to see this become a reality.
Yeah.
Although I'll forget to put the little...
The tab on it?
Yeah, I'll forget to do that, so I'll be back at square one.
Oh.
And I know Apple's always in the news, and we saved it for last, not necessarily because it's the best, but because we always talk about it, but a big event coming up?
Yeah, on June 4th, Apple has their yearly big showcase of what's new in the software side of things. So we're not going to see a new hardware iPhone, but they're going to talk about what's going to be new coming to iPhone software and other software. And they kind of tease it. If you ask Siri, tell me about the Worldwide Developer Conference, which is what it's called, Siri gives hints and clues, and she goes, I don't want to brag, but I'm going to get smarter. And then she says,
good, because you're pretty stupid, Siri.
So we'll be seeing what kind of upgrades we give Siri, and apparently Siri is going to have a whole new voice.
Oh, maybe you can get your British voice.
I would love that.
Although I guess it's already out there.
Yeah, you can do that, right? Different voice options. Well, Bridget, thank you very much. Just the mere fact that they're smart Tupperware means the world's a better place.
There's always some good with the bad, right?
Yeah, always. Thank you so much, Bridget. Have a good week.
All right, thanks.
It's Bridget Carey from CNET.
And this Tech Tuesday, sponsored by Illinois Tech's Stewart School of Business. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill. It's Wendy. And yes, tickets, you want them, we have them, but not now. Stay tuned. Keep
later
listening.
In the show.
We'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Yes live in action on Friday, June 8th at Silver Creek Event Center at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. And we also have this cool new contraption called Never Measure. You can easily center and hang your wall decorations. If you ever hang up a picture and it's crooked, or you're spacing out like a bunch of pictures, this tool called Never Measure will help you do it without any kind of measuring. It is it's the coolest thing, because if you take any painting down at our house, and we have a lot of very expensive paintings.
Yeah, Rembrandt,
yes.
Renoir.
Exactly.
Dogs playing poker. All the classics.
If you take my pictures off the wall, you will notice about 18 nail holes, because I just couldn't.
Right.
You'll never see that again if you use a Never Measure. So if you would like to get yours, you can go to nevermeasure.com, or keep listening, because we will set you up with Yes tickets and a Never Measure contraption. We should probably send the Yes members a Never Measure.
They would love those.
All right. Stay tuned.
All right. I have a question to ask you, but I don't know quite how to word it properly. So bear with me because I'm going to mangle this question. Is there anything you can think of that you have learned later in life that after you learned it, you go, oh, I should have known this my whole life, but here I am 35, 40, 45. I just learned it now. This is ridiculous. I should have known this 30 years ago. Can you think of anything like that?
I'd have to think about that, but I know what you mean.
You know what I mean, right? Can I give you an example of one for me? And I've got...
Why didn't you give me time to think about this?
I should have given you more time.
I've learned a lot of things in my life, mostly from you.
Is that true?
That's sad me.
That's frightening.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so here's one that I still don't know. My mom told me when I was little, my brother and I, we used to play this game called Lightning Storm, where we would go to wherever the light switch was, and we would turn it on and off and on and off, and it was a lightning storm. We didn't have videos back then. We didn't have computers. That was fun. We would play that for an hour and a half.
All you had was a ViewMaster. So really, yeah.
Let's go play Lightning Storm for 90 minutes. So one of us would make the lights go on and off and on and off. So then my mom would get furious, and she goes, you know, every time you turn the lights on or off, that's 10 cents on the electric bill, you know, to make us stop doing it. And I still to this day don't know if that's true or not. I know that's ridiculous because I could probably look on my bill. But I don't know. It must cost you some money, but I don't think it costs you 10 cents every time you turn it on or off.
No,
right?
It certainly doesn't.
She was messing with me.
My mom told me that, you know how you're eating and you'd bite your cheek?
Yeah.
She always would tell me at that point, oh, you're putting on a little too much weight if that's what you're doing.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah. Wow. I think skinny people also bite the inside of their cheek.
Yeah, they definitely do. Oh,
so I realize that is not true anymore.
Well, over at MSN.com, they asked a whole bunch of people this question. What did you learn later in life that you didn't know when you were younger? Some of the answers are ridiculous. I will warn you right now. How about this one? This is one person who answered. They said, I thought that ponies were baby horses.
I did too.
I got to be honest.
100% I thought so.
It took me a while before I figured that out.
I didn't know ponies was their own breed.
That's it,
and
exactly.
You could have an adult pony. I didn't think those words went together.
So a baby horse is not a pony.
It's
a baby
foal.
Horse is a foal. F-O-A-L.
Or what's a colt?
A different horse. Totally different horse. But yeah, I spent a good portion of my life believing that a pony would eventually grow up into a horse. That makes sense. You see a little, you go, hey, that's a little horse. It'll get bigger.
I thought a pony was like a puppy.
Right.
The pony would turn into a horse.
Me
I didn't
too.
Know they were two separate things.
Yeah. So that one's not ridiculous. That's
a good one.
Completely understandable. That one is. How about this one? My sister believed that Mount Rushmore was a naturally occurring rock formation.
I might have too when
no,
I was little.
No, you didn't.
Maybe.
There's no way.
Niagara Falls is for reals. That was natural.
Niagara Falls is, but it's not shaped like four presidents.
Yeah, well.
How could that just happen? There's no way that could
God,
happen.
God. With a lightning
even
bolt
on,
chiseling.
Even on his best day, I don't think that could happen.
oh, wait. This just in.
What?
Update. We have an update. Rich, you know how much it costs to flip on a light switch?
Yeah, Bill, I don't want to, you know, ruin your day, but it's gone up to 11 cents now.
Oh, they raised their rates. It's now 11 cents. Every time you turn it on or off, it's 11 cents?
Well, it's 10 cents. It's 11 cents if it's an LED switch. And not 10 cents if it's not an LED switch.
Well, I have to be more careful then.
Thank you, Rich.
Wait about, Wendy, hold on. What about don't open up the refrigerator? We're not air conditioning.
Oh, yeah. That's standard, isn't it? You hear that a lot when you're growing up.
That was really worth waiting for, Rich. Thank you very much.
I'm going to hang up on myself now, Wendy.
Have a great day. Someone just said, I just learned that the first little piggy didn't have to go to the market
to
shop.
That's one of these.
Oh, really? Sorry.
No, absolutely one of
these. Thanks, 847. Well, how did we know that?
Somebody put, the piggy going to market is not buying groceries. Meaning they're going to market to be slaughtered.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. They're not going to, you know, take care of the weekend. I got to get some soup. I got to get some lemonade. They're going because that's the end for that piggy.
I even read the text and it didn't click till just now. That's sad.
Yeah, that's sad. It's
my
very
God.
Sad. It's very sad. I also, there was a time where I thought, you know how you always hear that step on a crack, break your mother's back?
Mm-hmm.
I wondered if there could be I mean, now I know it's ridiculous, but there was a time where I go, I wonder, and then if you get mad at your mom, you just purposely hit the cracks.
So you did that too, much as you loved your mom.
Every kid does that.
I bet
I'll show
kids
her.
Are walking on every crack all over the place.
Now, this one I have to confess, I still don't know. I didn't know that narwhals were real until sophomore year in college. Do you know what that means? Because I don't.
Yeah, aren't narwhals whales with a big horn on the front? They're like the unicorn of whales, and evidently they are legit.
They're real? It says, much like reindeer, many people erroneously believe that narwhals are not real, but in fact they are.
I never gave it much thought, to be honest with you.
When does anyone talk about narwhals? I've never heard.
With the kids these days. There's been something narwhal-y.
Because why?
Because somebody did something on social media, so kids today know about narwhals.
This is the first time I've ever heard the word.
Really?
I've never heard of it ever. One Reddit user wrote the confession above and then went on to explain, I knew what they were, but I thought that they were like mermaids or a sphinx.
Sphinxes are real.
Those are real. Right. That's not a good comparison. Because those sphinxes, that exists.
That's a narwhal. It's a unicorn whale.
That's the first I've ever seen or heard
really?
Of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep. We were not allowed to have them as a kid.
Which is surprising because your mom tried you out with every pet possible.
She got a bunch of pets, but narwhal never made the list.
Maybe if she got you a narwhal, you'd like animals now.
But that would have been all the difference. All right, more of these. And do you have any? Is there anything you learned later on as an adult that you probably should have known much, much earlier? We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. What did you learn later in life? Was there some little fact that came to you much later in life, and then when you learned it, you go, how did I not know this 20 years ago? What's going on with me? There's a bunch of them over at MSN, and if you have any, we're at 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you.
Can we talk to Tim?
Sure.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Hi, boys and girls. I love you both so much.
Oh, Tim. Thank you.
You're the best thing on radio, and I'm not kidding.
Oh, you're very smart.
Hello.
Thank you.
That was a nice way to take a compliment. I like that.
Yeah.
But he's right. Obviously, I'm brilliant. And you guys, if it was up to me, you'd be on radio 12 hours a day.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
It wouldn't be up to us to do that. That's a lot of work. Anyway,
when I was young, I was one of five children. Excuse me. And we only had one bathroom. And one day, my mother was in the bathtub soaking, like women do. And I was outside the door, and I kept yelling, I gotta go potty. So she finally told me, come on in and do what I gotta do.
Yeah.
So I went in and sat on the toilet. And of course, I'm staring at my mother because she's naked.
Huh? All right, this is getting super weird, Tim.
Oh, she had the biggest belly button I'd ever seen.
Yeah. Huh?
And it was an Audi. But the thing had, it was large.
I thought it was a Cadillac. Go on.
I decided that's obviously where the baby came out of.
The baby came out of the belly button.
Right.
Yeah.
As a young kid, you don't know where they come from, and you ain't buying that watermelon thing. And I decided that was where we came out of, and it was an unbelievable feeling.
And then how old were you when you realized maybe that wasn't quite right?
22.
Well, Tim, thank you very much. That's weird.
Glad I got to talk to you. You guys are super.
Thank you,
we appreciate
Tim.
It.
And Tim is your OBGYN, is he not? I think it's an odd choice to have him, but he seems like a nice enough guy, Wendy. I think you're making the right choice.
You are such... I don't even know what you are.
I
take that as a compliment.
I do.
All right, do you have any more?
Yeah. Here's a person who said that they thought that Olivia Newton-John, Fig Newtons, and Newton's Law were all part of the same family business.
All right, that's silly.
That Olivia Newton-John had a company that made Fig Newtons.
That sounds like a story Bill Leff told someone,
yeah,
and they believed him, like
right.
me. I believe right. everything out of your mouth for some reason.
Yeah. How about this one? This person said, I was convinced that cheese grew on bushes until I was 12 or 13 years old. Why would you think that?
I don't know, but that's a plant I would definitely get. If you could just go out and pick cheese, that would be great.
I've told you this before. As a kid, I convinced myself whenever there was a food that I didn't want to think about the origins of it, like hamburgers, we all know come from cows. But in my head, I convinced myself that hamburgers came from hamburgers. that they just made hamburgers and that's what you would have. Or ribs were just ribs, that they weren't part of an
animal. Except that ribs look just like ribs. That's a tough one to...
That one's harder to sell on yourself. Yeah. Right. But there are still times today where I have to mess with myself so that I don't think about the origin of the food.
I bet many people have this issue, but Jimmy Mack, my husband, and my niece Kara will not eat a chicken leg or a chicken breast. They will only eat chicken tenders. They will, or a chicken patty,
because
or a chicken breast.
The name of the body part in
because
it
looks like a chicken leg. They have a huge aversion to eating, which makes it very hard at family picnics.
Yeah.
Because if we get fried chicken, remember we had a chicken party at my beach club last year.
Yeah,
we had to get tenders for Jim and Kara. They will not
pick up
a chicken leg or a breast. It just grosses them out.
Because they think of the backstory of the animal, not
because it looks
just food,
like what it
animal.
Is.
Right.
But they both eat ribs. That's what I don't understand.
What about like buffalo wings? What would they do? What would they do with those?
Those don't come from buffaloes.
They don't? Here's a person who said that they thought, and I bet this applies to a lot of people, that they thought that the Sistine Chapel was called the 16th Chapel.
Never.
I guarantee you, even though you didn't, I know for a fact that there were people who probably believed that forever. 16th Chapel.
I don't believe that. Someone's, again, trying to be funny or talk to you.
Here's a guy who said that for years he believed that lemons and limes were the same fruit. Why would you think that? They're different colors and they have different names.
Did he also think an orange was the same?
No. There was no mention at all of oranges, just that lemons and limes were not the same fruit.
Is orange the only fruit that has that is named the color and what it is?
I think so.
Isn't that just unusual?
I think so. Yeah, why didn't they come up with a different name for it? Yeah, I think
why didn't they call a lime green?
A green. Yeah,
and a lemon?
The same guy who named oranges should have done that all day long. Blueberry's close.
Yeah.
But they still went with blueberry. And grapefruit doesn't have any grapes in it. I've tried. I've checked. You can't find a single grape in a grapefruit. I've had this argument with the Mariano's manager every week since he opened.
And the ugly fruit is not that ugly, I got to tell you.
No, there's uglier fruit than the ugly fruit.
That was our produce hunk, ladies and gentlemen. Right. I hope you enjoyed it.
You can hire us for summer festivals. What about this? I didn't know that pickles were just cucumbers in vinegar.
Yeah.
No, that's not me. That's somebody saying that.
Yeah,
I never thought about it, but that's what they are.
Yeah, right. That's not hard to figure
and
out.
And I once had an argument. There was a guy I went to college with who, somehow raisins came up. He was eating raisins, and I don't remember how the conversation got to this, but he refused to believe that raisins were at any point in their existence grapes. He goes, that's ridiculous. I go, look it up. That's a fact. No, it's not. Raisins were never grapes.
It's just shriveled up
that's
grapes.
All they are. Yeah.
And you know what a prune is?
No.
You don't?
No.
Isn't it just a shriveled up plum?
Oh, yeah. It's a plum.
Guacamole.
Yeah, I thought it was guacamole.
This is fun. Can we continue this? Because people want to talk to us.
You got more? All right, yeah. We're easy to reach. We're at 312-981-7200.
Oh, you know what we have? Can we interrupt this broadcast to do something, though, first?
Yes.
And then we'll continue after the news, because I love these things that we're discussing, and so many listeners want to talk. This is probably bad timing, but Jasmine, we're going to have to clear the lines, because...
Oh, no.
Well, they can call right back.
They'll call back? All right.
Or, yeah.
All right.
Or just count. Yeah, they're cleared. Now we can have... She'll figure it out.
Okay.
We have a pair of tickets to hear the hits and see the band. Yes, that's just crazy. The 70s. You can hear the hits of the 70s with Yes Live in Action, Friday, June 8th, Silver Creek Event Center at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, Michigan. You can always get your own tickets at Ticketmaster.com, or you can be what number caller?
Caller 11, 312-981-7200. Be caller 11.
Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape, and we will throw in a never measure. Easily center, level, and hang your wall decorations fast and eliminate the need to use a measuring tape or calculate fractions. Oh my God, it makes it so easy. Veteran owned and made in the US of A. Get yours at nevermeasure.com. 11th caller right now, 312-981-7200.
Kim, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Before the break, we were talking about things you've learned later in life just little bits of information, little facts that you probably should have learned earlier, but for one reason or another, they never really resonated till you were older. You can call us or text us with yours at 312-981-7200.
All right. Mary's been on hold for a while. Mary Lee, how are you?
I'm good.
What do you got, Mary?
My husband thought that limes and lemons came from the same tree.
Hmm.
That limes were the unripe version, and then the lemons were the ripe version.
Like green tomatoes.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
And how did he come to realize that he couldn't have been more wrong? What happened there?
Oh, I told him.
Oh, you did? Was he shocked?
And the funny thing is that he's very smart. But like book smart, but when it comes to street smart, sometimes like this, it's not. It doesn't get to him right away.
It's more fun that way. Well, thanks, Mary. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Take
Thank
care.
You.
Bye.
And Jim's been on hold too. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hey there. This will be quick. I probably was 35 to 40 before I found out that maraschino cherries are grown white and they dye them red.
Okay, I didn't know that part.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, that can't be a real color because it's not.
It'll say red dye color.
Yeah.
It's too vibrant.
Right.
Yeah. All right, that makes sense.
They're white cherries, yep.
Oh, all right, thank you.
That's pretty interesting. And also pistachio nuts. I didn't know pistachio nuts were white and they put dye on them.
Yeah. Was that the nut that had the red dye number 2 controversy? What was the nut that was involved in that years ago?
Yeah, because now you can't find red pistachio nuts anymore. And I think I heard on the Steve Cochran show, and I could be completely off here, but there's some truth to this, that they put the red dye because there were people, this is how I half listen, so mm-hmm. I don't know if it's correct, but mm-hmm. there was a crew on a ship and they were eating pistachio nuts and they weren't getting to their destination. So they thought if we dye them red, we'll be able to see who ate them. And I don't know if that's true.
I don't know if that's true.
I'll find that out.
So there was a mystery involving who exactly was eating these.
Well, it would discourage you from eating them because you'd be caught red-handed.
So.
That's where the term came from, allegedly.
Really?
I don't know. I think I learned that on the Cochran show. You learn a lot of stuff listening to Steve Cochran in the morning.
Yeah.
Do you have some more of these?
Yeah, I do. Here's a person who writes in. They thought that Arkansas was pronounced Arkansas. No, that's impossible,
Although,
right?
Although, why isn't it pronounced Arkansas? That's what it should be. If Kansas is Kansas, why isn't it Arkansas?
Right. I guess so.
R-rated Kansas. I don't know, but why is it?
Is that what goes on in Arkansas? It's like Kansas, but it's very R-rated.
We don't call Kansas Kansas.
No, we don't. Yeah, so it should be more uniform, I guess.
It's weird.
But do you believe that an adult would have pronounced Arkansas Arkansas for any length of time?
No.
It's impossible. Here's a person who said that in my mid-30s, I learned that coffee cake was not coffee-flavored cake.
No, but you'd have it with coffee.
Right.
But you can see where, smarter all of a sudden.
If somebody has an aversion to coffee, like I don't like coffee, I don't like anything about coffee. So imagine me going through my whole life thinking that coffee cake would have that flavor, then I would stay away from
right.
it.
Right. Like coffee candies do, in fact,
right.
taste like coffee.
Right, right. Here's a good one. I thought that going over speed bumps would slow your car down, that there was something in the bump that would magically make your car go slower, that it wasn't you actually physically slowing your car down because there were bumps. They thought the bumps slowed the car down.
Well, it does because it's
It does a little bit.
Yeah, and it takes out your transmission, too, if you go too quickly over them.
Yeah. But this is akin to, like, I remember when my daughters were younger. You know that thing when you're driving and you're in a rainstorm and then all of a sudden you go under a bridge and the rain just stops
it's quiet.
For a second and a half?
Yeah.
So I used to tell my daughters when they were little that I had the power to make the rain. Like, so we'd be driving and I would just snap my fingers as we were coming under a bridge and the rain would stop and then I'd snap them again and the rain would start up.
This is an interesting day for you. Earlier we were talking about why your coach never benched you because you wouldn't put the sponsor's name on the back of your jersey and you said, I was too good.
Yeah.
Then a listener said, boy, this is my favorite show on the station. And you said, boy, you're smart.
Very smart.
And now you had power to stop the rain.
I was like a rain sorcerer, but then they figured it out.
You're very confident today.
Yeah. I am. All right. Can I tell you one that will balance it out?
All right.
And I think you already know this because I've talked about it at some point. I didn't realize until I was in high school that you had to change the oil in your car, that the car didn't produce its own oil, because I was never in the car when either of my parents got an oil change. They would just do it, you know, on their way to work or something. So I got a car and I was driving it and the engine cashed out, and it's because I didn't put oil in it.
I love how you use cashed out, because that was a very popular term when you had your first car.
I was a teenager, so I went back in time.
My engine's cashed.
But I remember my dad saying, well, what happened to the car? Did you put gas in it? And I go, yeah, I put gas in it last night. And he goes, what about oil? And I laughed and I go, you don't put oil in a car. A car produces its own oil. And it turns out that most cars don't.
Well, I'll give you credit. It was pre-internet, so you couldn't look it up on how to... But whoever sold you the car, did you buy it from a person or a dealership?
It was a new car.
Oh, it was brand new?
Yeah.
Well, then
I drove it for almost a year.
Shame on the person who sold it to you then, because at that point, it's their job to say, you have to bring it in for an oil change.
I think they just assumed, and probably rightfully so, that any thinking human being would know.
How do you know when to do it?
I didn't know when. I obviously didn't know when. And the engine totally locked up. I mean, you kids listening, put some oil in your car every once in a while.
How long did you have it?
Almost a year. Just under a year. Like 10
disposable
months.
Disposable cars.
Yeah. Well, they ended up, they did replace the, it was expensive, you know, but.
Did you get oil changes after that?
Every day. I go in every day now and get my oil changed. All right. Do you have any more of these? We're at 312-981-7200. We would love to hear from you. We won't judge you. We won't make fun of you. Well,
we
might judge you and make fun of you. But what are the things you learned later on in life? Give us a call or a text, and we'll get to those right after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. Things you learned that turned out not to be true.
No, they are true. Some of them are true. You learn them later in your life. You thought, oh, I know everything there is in my whole life. And then later in life, you learn something and you go, how did I not know this?
All right. Can we talk to Fran?
Yeah.
Fran has called us. Hi, Fran. How are you?
Hi. Okay. This kind of wasn't like me learning something, but my son, when he was in high school, they had automotive class. You could bring your car in. They would check the tires. They would do, you know, whatever you needed to do, change the oil. So after we got the car back, it was riding really, really hard. And we couldn't figure out why, so I don't even remember exactly how it transpired. But turns out my son, when he put air in the tires, he put enough air in there, I think it was almost like 80 pounds. He said, well, that's what you do with bike tires. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Boy, did he pass his automotive class?
That I'm not sure.
Wow.
But obviously they never told him, and he just didn't know because he always rode a bike. He was just in high school, you know. So that's what he did. He figured the car was so much bigger, it had to be that much more air pressure. I'm surprised the tires didn't blow.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
That's great. Well, thank you, Fran.
Okay, thanks.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to make sure we have time for you.
For my embarrassing one? All right.
Did you just receive a phone call?
Yeah, my wife called and requested one.
Oh.
From her Bill Looks Like a Doofus Greatest Hits album.
How is that a double album
triple album.
Hi, Casey.
Hi. Wendy, I know you're a member of a beach club, but there's these almost, they look like little dragonflies, but they're blue.
Yes.
And they have the real long back end on them. I was always told those are sewing needles. Don't swat at them. Don't swing at them. Because if you do, they'll come and sting you and sew your skin.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
That's terrible.
My biggest fear would be that they'd sew my mouth shut.
Yeah, probably so. But no, I was in my 20s when I'm like, oh, okay, well, forget about it then.
Boy, the things, we are so gullible, especially when our parents tell us.
Yeah. Yeah,
that should be changed. Thank you, Casey. What have we learned? Never trust your parents.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. One day I was listening to this radio station, WGN, and Jim Toronto was on, and he was telling a story that rang true for me because I remember when I made this realization too. He said he was driving down a street near his home, and they were doing some work on the roadway, and they had dug up a fire plug. And a fire plug, I imagine most people know this, goes way down deep into the ground. It's not just that foot and a half tall thing that you see sticking out, but it goes deep, deep, deep into the ground, and it's big and it's thick. But in your head, if you never saw the inner workings of one of those things, you just go, yeah, it's a foot and a half thing that they just put above the ground. You don't really think about the mechanics of what goes on underneath.
Maybe you don't.
But I know most people do.
Because where would all that water come from? They're small.
But it fits, you know, those things where you see them every day and you don't really think about the mechanics of how they work. You just go, oh, that's the part I see. So that must be all there is to it. When in reality, it tunnels deep into the earth and it's giant. You're only seeing the very cap of it.
Yeah, you know? We know.
But I didn't know that when I was a kid.
When did you learn this?
Probably college. I saw one. I never saw the inside of one. But he said it just threw him. He just stared at it like that. All of them are like that. They all have that. The answer is yes. They all have that.
I don't know if this is a joke or not. Hi, Joanne. Are you a jolly joker?
I am a jolly joker. Bill, Wendy, I love you.
Thanks.
I was watching the network news, and it's taking place like in a hospice or a hospital, old people, and they're talking about euthanasia. And I'm going, this doesn't make sense. I'm thinking it's like a Peace Corps group in the Philippines, and why are they in this nursing home talking to these people about that? Then you try to look it up in the dictionary, and under why, I couldn't find the word, and then I figured out what euthanasia means.
I thought that too.
Didn't somebody here at WGN get in trouble for that on the air? That they misunderstood what that word meant?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when I was younger, I had never heard that term. You know, you euthanize a dog. No, you put the dog to sleep. I never had heard it. So when I was younger, I thought the same thing.
Yeah. Don't feel so bad.
Thank you, Joanne.
Sure,
thanks for listening. Have you told your embarrassing one yet?
All right. Very quick version of it. When Terry and I started dating, we were at a family function and everybody was taught, they were bringing out their dessert recipes. You know, here's a dessert pleaser that can never go wrong. And they're all telling it, well, somebody has this and somebody has a pie and somebody has a cake and they go around. And I go, Terry makes this thing. It's amazing. And what it is it's pie. It's a slice of pie. And then she takes a scoop of ice cream and she puts it on the pie. And everybody's waiting for, and then what happens?
Yeah.
And I go, how about that? And they go, how about that? That's pie a la mode. And I go, that's what she calls it, like that.
You thought she invented
thought she invented pie a la mode. Because when I was growing up, you know, my family were professional eaters. They really enjoyed their food. There was no time to put a dessert on top of another dessert. If there was a dessert, you ran at the dessert and you ate it as quickly as you could. There was no time to put it stacked desserts. So I was convinced that... my wife, then girlfriend, invented that. But I learned that no, she did not invent.
What did you think a la mode meant?
He never heard the term before.
It was just, just some French thing. I go, well, that's just some French dessert that I don't have time for.
You never went to a restaurant and you ordered a piece of pie and they said, do you want it a la mode?
No. Nope. I know, it's hard to... Now you go, well, how is that possible? It just never happened, ever.
But, all right, in your defense, which I know you don't need me to defend you.
Oh, feel free.
But you guys never really went out to eat that much. Your mom made two meals
a
day.
Oh, no, we still went out to eat a lot, yeah.
Well, then I have no defense
for you. No, there is no defense. I should have known it.
I will be honest with you, something that my mom made, she called it snake steak. And
snake steak.
Yeah, and what we would get on our plate. My mom always made dinner. She worked. She was a single parent, and she would work. And I think she got home at like 4:30 or 5 o'clock. She'd make dinner, and it was always a meat, a starch, and a vegetable. Always.
Yeah.
So this was snake steak.
What is it?
Well, I found out now it's flank steak, which is kind of thick, and she would cut it into like just little strips, which is kind of how you serve it, and everybody would get a strip, and she called it snake steak, and you know, as an adult,
was she just saying it wrong, or
no? She just said
it was named it after snakes.
Yeah, I thought it was snake.
Delicious.
So when I moved out and was on my own and wanted to make snake steak because I liked it, I asked the butcher. If he had snake steak, and
my family wants snake steak,
he didn't know what I was talking about. And I said, it's this thick, it's kind of chewy, it's kind of like a skirt steak. And he goes, oh, you must mean flank steak.
Yeah.
And looking at it, I'd be like, no, because it's not in little strips like snake steak.
Have you ever found a butcher who was up on the terminal? No. So your mom.
My mom did invent that.
She came up with the name of it.
Your wife invented pie a la mode.
Well, we also used to have snake steak a la mode from time to time, but I think everybody had that.
That's funny.
That was standard.
Super funny. How can you turn it around on me?
I'm embarrassed by it, but I think that's what won me over to her. you know, was my innocence.
Are you saying that with a straight face? Oh, my God. I can't even look at you
anymore.
All right,
we'll take a quick break, and then more snake steak recipes. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.